You are listening to Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.
So for me, it really is an absolute honor to be here talking to all of you. I was stationed here in Lemoore for almost 20 years, about maybe 18 years. Certainly met the love of my life here and married into this incredible family. And, you know, during that time, Koinonia was a really important part of, you know, my spiritual journey and just my support base when I was here as a pilot and then deployed. And as Joanna and I have moved many times over the past 15 years of our marriage, Koinonia really has been a spiritual home for us. And so, from my own spiritual journey has been like many people, kind of ups and downs of faith and skepticism. And every time I've come back to this church, more than anywhere in the world, I've left here with a renewed sense of faith, of hope. And so this really has been a place where Joanna and I and our whole family have kind of come to renew our faith. So I'm really grateful for you guys. And so the first thing I want to say to you all is that what you guys do is just so incredibly important and impactful. And so I am humbled and honored to be here because I absolutely believe in what Koinonia stands for and what you guys do in the world. And so if there's anything I can do to help shape that, it will be an honor for me. So, my background, Bub kind of covered it, but I spent the last, basically when I stopped flying, I sort of got into this sort of strategist track. I did a couple of years at school, studied strategy, military strategy. I ended up being asked to write the Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard strategy for the U.S. military, and so I led that project with about 50 people, and then the CNO, the Chief of the Navy, hired me to really develop the Navy strategy and then execute it for the past 3 years. So all that to say, and I had no idea what I was doing the entire time, and I still don't. But what I'm going to try to do is something I've never really done before, and I was grateful for Bub to ask me having done this because I actually helped clarify, okay, my 5 years of doing this, can I get this down into a chunk of time, you know, and try to explain it to people, hey, the way I think. And initially, you know, Bub said, hey, you know, can we talk about military strategy and Koinonia strategy? I thought, wow, that's really still very sort of disparate things. But the more I started to think about it, I was like, wow, that's really kind of similar. And one of the concepts that we're going to talk about is the idea of a North Star, of a, you know, you have sort of strategies, different higher levels of strategy, but ultimately everyone sort of has a North Star. And what I realized was that the North Star for the military and the church is actually the same thing. It's peace on earth, amazingly enough. That may sound funny for a military organization to have its end goal be peace on earth, but I deeply believe that, and that's why I joined the military, was to kind of try to build a more perfect world. So what are my goals for today, and what I would set for you guys is let's start out with just low expectations. This is largely just going to be a conversation. I just want to, you know, go through and talk about it. My low expectations I'm going to set for myself. As a military guy, we speak our own language. And Joanna knows this more than anybody, so I'm going to do my best to avoid acronyms and avoid military speak. I will also try to avoid saying any bad words. But if I do either of those things, I'm sure Joanna will look at me, probably laugh at the latter, and, you know, tilt her head at me with the former if I use an acronym. So please raise your hand if I say anything that you don't want to, that you don't understand, or are offended by, and we'll go back and correct it. So that's the start. So, and really, this is hopefully going to be a conversation. So please ask questions, and I'll do my best as we kind of get through it to start, you know, engaging with you guys and ask some questions. So I'm also going to kind of talk through the way we think about military strategy. And some of it may apply and may be useful to you, and some of it may not. But I think the most important thing we could probably walk away with today is to help kind of clarify, as you guys enter this season of maybe thinking about, hey, how do we really think about and articulate and communicate Koinonia's strategy? What's the kind of common language that we can build together that will give you guys that common language so when you're talking about things, it's easy to kind of put things into the right bins? And in my years of developing strategy, I really found that spending time up front, developing a framework became really important, because oftentimes it helped people realize, hey, when we may be talking about, and it feels like we're talking about very different things, very different goals, very different ideas, but maybe it's because we're talking about things at different parts of a framework that, if properly constructed, I can see how these things all fit together. So we're going to try to build that together this morning. The other thing I'll just caution you guys about as you enter into talking about strategy is it's really hard. It will absolutely generate friction and disagreement, and that's actually a really good thing. And so don't be frustrated by it. I mean, emotionally, you may be frustrated, but, you know, your higher self, you should be invigorated by that, because it's going to ultimately make it better. And it's actually designed to unearth disagreement as you go through it. And strategy really is much more about the journey than it is about the actual destination. At the end of it, ideally, you're going to have something that's written down, that's articulated, and that piece of paper will be sort of vaguely useful for you. But the process of developing that and coming up with the ideas is, that's the magic. So Dwight Eisenhower, one of our great presidents, was the supreme allied commander of Allied Forces Europe. So we come up with really cool titles for people in the military sometimes. Supreme Allied Commander, I think, is one of those. But he had a famous expression, which is, plans are worthless, but planning is indispensable. And so that's kind of what the idea for strategy. So strategy is essentially, ultimately, the document is almost worthless, but the process of building that strategy is what's indispensable, because it helps focus things. Okay, so what are we going to try to do today? Is we're going to try to build together a common language for you guys to use. That's number one. And number two is to help kind of maybe talk through and maybe build out a framework that will maybe help you guys think through as you talk about your goals and talk about, you know, your resources and what you want to do with those resources, how you can build those together in a framework that kind of gives you a coherent strategy that you can put together. Here's what's really hard about strategy. When is a good time to talk about strategy? Basically never. There's never a good time to talk about strategy, except it's always a good time to sort of think about strategy. But it's, you know, sort of like, maybe it's kind of like having a baby, right? It's like, there's never really a great time to have a baby, except when you have the, you know, it's a perfect time when you get pregnant and now the baby comes, although you didn't really plan for it. But when really is a good time to take a step back and think about strategy? When you're fighting the alligators right next to the canoe, that's a really hard time to think about strategy, because you're sort of in emergency crisis mode. But almost any time you're not in emergency crisis firefighting mode, it's worthwhile to have some kind of strategic lens that you can think about your actions through. And if you ever reach a point where you have a truly strategic pause, that is a great time to think about strategy. Or if you're at an inflection point where maybe things aren't quite going the way you want them to go, or maybe just the environment that you're operating in has changed, that's always a good time to think about strategy. In general, you don't want your strategy to change a whole lot. Ideally, you kind of set that, and that those really high-level strategic objectives never should really change. And if they do, you should be really intentional about why. And sometimes we've seen organizations that, hey, if the strategy is changing every 2 or 3 years, they probably really don't have a strategy. They're just kind of more executing on feel. So we'll sort of talk about that a little bit. Okay, so let's talk about a little bit of that common language idea. What's the difference between strategy and a plan? Anybody have an idea?
Strategy kind of implies that there's a bigger motive behind the thought process.
Yeah, that's right. In some ways, if you can think about it in various levels, strategy generally implies, hey, what's a really high kind of level goal that you're looking to go after? But it also sort of implies that I'm probably operating in a world where I don't really understand exactly how I'm going to get there, but I know where I want to get to. So kind of a useful analogy might be like, if I'm looking to go from here to Bakersfield, I don't really need a strategy. I can just come up with a plan, I can write a map, and I'm going to kind of execute that in a pretty rigid fashion. But if I want to do a much longer travel and travel around the world, I have a plan of how to get there, but ultimately there's going to be interactions, things are going to happen. And so this longer term strategy I have will help me inform smaller plans that I can execute. But as I go through each step of that plan, I probably need to reevaluate, hey, what should be the next step, to kind of think about what that next stage is. So really strategy kind of helps that overarching vision. And one step down is I can help now build plans, which I can now execute to fulfill that strategy. So it's actually hard to really execute strategy. You don't necessarily, once I come up with my strategy, I don't just sort of do it. I kind of take that strategy and now I think about, hey, what actions can I take that will help me drive me towards that that direction? So that's kind of the difference between strategy and a plan. And the big one really is that interaction, where it's like, hey, when I'm doing something, I have to recognize that my plan may not go exactly according to plan. So there's some other funny quotes about that one. You know, back to the plans are useless, planning is indispensable. That's because, you know, there is that interaction. Mike Tyson said, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. And so he's another brilliant strategist, obviously. And so really the idea is that you can come up with these individual plans and recognize what are all the ways that things will intervene to keep that plan from being successful. In the real world, you know, there's things like simple things like weather. There truly are acts of God, hurricanes, things like that, volcano eruptions, things you just have no control over. There's unexpected events. There are all the human factors are really the main things that, that play into this, though. You know, it's emotion, it's ego, it's personal crises that, that arise. And so all of those things may interfere with your plans. But if you have a strategy that you can always kind of refer back to, that'll kind of help you align your actions as you move forward. So the funny thing about strategy is that really good ones start out and they're sort of just like staggeringly simple. And then a really good strategy, when you can really kind of boil it down to, is, you know, like I said, what's the ultimate goal of the U.S. military? Peace on Earth. Like, that's really the long-term strategy. And if you look at the national defense strategy, it's also sort of staggeringly simple. Defend the homeland, win in combat if called upon, kind of thing. It's sort of like this really higher overarching kind of things. And it sounds almost silly simple, but if you can't ultimately boil down what you're doing to something staggeringly simple, you maybe don't understand what you're doing necessarily well enough. And so the idea is you can start with something very simple, a little bit more complicated, more and more goals that support that, and that kind of helps you get down to that actual thing that becomes useful for us to execute as human beings, which are sort of plans. All right, so what's really important about strategy, we start with sort of an idea of what are we looking to try to achieve with strategy, is you've got an as-is state, and this is where we are now. And you've got a to-be state. As leadership, it's really important that you guys can come to agreement on both of these two things. And this is actually a really important conversation to have. And first of all, I say, you know, as is, hey, you know, where are you guys right now? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Where are you? How are things going? How are you organized? To be is where you are trying to get, right? So if I just said, hey, as a staff, hey, everyone get to, I need you to go to Detroit, all right? And it's, okay, ready, go. And someone goes east, someone goes west, someone goes north, someone goes south, because if they all think they're in a different place when they start, everyone's going to go in sort of diverging directions. So it's not just enough to establish where you're going. You need to also make sure, do we all agree on where we are right now? And so don't underestimate how important these two steps are. Sometimes a good place to start is where we want to go together, because sometimes where we are can be kind of an emotional conversation where people start, hey, things aren't going as well as we thought. But both are very important conversations to have. So we'll start out with those two things. So profoundly important that you guys come to agreement on these two things. But it's also crucially important in the beginning that you don't be disappointed when you realize you don't actually agree on what those two things are. And we're going to kind of talk through what that actually looks like and why. Because sometimes when we talk about what our end states are, again, we find we may be disagreeing about those things. But it's that coming to consensus can actually help develop a really powerful vision for everyone. One analogy that's kind of what I like is The idea of focusing energy and focusing intent can be really powerful. Where it's not really a sunny day outside, unfortunately, with the fog. But if you went outside and the sun was shining, and put your hand out there, you feel the sun's warmth, and there's energy coming from the sun, and it's feels nice, but it's not a huge amount of heat or energy that you're feeling. But if you had a magnifying glass, that same amount of energy, if I just focused that, I could, within an instant, burn a hole through my hand. It's the same amount of energy, it's just focused. And that's sort of the idea of where you're trying to go with a strategy, where it's, hey, this staff, here you are with these 15 people or so in the room, it may not feel like a huge amount of resources and, this church, the finances you have, the congregation, in the scheme of the world may not be, an enormous lever to move things, but if properly focused, you can achieve a great effect. And so coming up with what that focal point is a really powerful tool. The other thing I'd encourage you guys to do as you go through the process is just make sure you write things down. Conversations are really good, but we can kind of cover up a lot of disagreements by just having the conversation and saying, yeah, we all agree. But when you actually try to put something down on paper and agree on the language, that's actually where the nuances of where people start to disagree. And the other thing is if you start out, you can kind of tell how good a strategy is by how vague the end states really are. Like I talk about, it's okay to have these good, broad level things. But when it comes down to a true goal, you want it to be pretty actionable and measurable. So we'll get into kind of all of that. But let's kind of talk through some more basic common language here. And the first common language we'll try to go through, and typically way in strategists, we use the term ends, ways, and means. So ends essentially are, these are the goals. This is the to be. This is what I'm actually trying to achieve. And so when I use that term, hey, what are the ends? That's the goals. This is what we're trying to agree on. What do you want your ends to be, sort of in general? Well, really, I want them to be clear. I want them to be specific. And I also want them to be measurable. And why is it important that a goal is measurable? Because I can tell, am I actually achieving that goal or not? And this can be a couple different things. It can be something you can actually measure quantitatively with numbers. Hey, I can count the number of people, for instance, in the congregation. I can look at the bank account. I can look at the effect that I'm having with, numbers of interactions, things like that. Those are sort of measurable. Some things are harder to measure, more of a feel thing. There's a famous quote about obscenity by Justice Potter, who said, I know it when I see it, but it's hard to really put into words. It's okay to have goals that are like that, where, hey, you may know it when you see it. Like, I'm going to know if I'm achieving a positive impact in the community, but I would like to have it be maybe something a little bit more measurable than that. So try to be specific enough that maybe you might not be able to break it down kind of quantitatively into a specific number, but something that you can sort of have some kind of a measurable outcome is good. Means, I'm going to skip to the third one here. These really are your resources. What are your assets? What do you have available to kind of help you achieve those ends? And an important thing to think about is, hey, do we have ultimately what's called an ends-means mismatch? Meaning that, hey, maybe I want to buy an enormous mansion, but I only have $100. I probably have a means and an ends mismatch there. Doesn't mean I can't ever get there. It just means I probably need a very different strategy. So, but the resources are sort of what I have available to me. And the important thing about the resources, and again, this comes down to the agreement, is you need to be realistic about what your resources are. Truly understand what is there. What do you have? What do you have control over? What do you have influence over, and what can you essentially not deal with? So gravity, for instance, is a problem. Hey, no matter what, I have to deal with gravity. No matter what, we're going to operate in an environment where there are laws, there are government, things like that. All right, and so the ways. One more thing about this. Ends, in general, like I said, with strategy, ideally, you're not going to change your end state a whole lot. You're going to, hey, we're going to come up with a common agreement. That's the kind of goal that we're driving to. It doesn't have to always be fixed, but typically you're not going to have massive swings in the goals that you're looking to achieve. Same things with your means. Unless you sort of win the lottery, you generally don't have an enormous change in your means. So these two things are not completely fixed, but also not super malleable. The ways is where the magic and strategy really is. These are the actions that you can take. How do I apply my resources to achieve my ends? And you can do it in a whole lot of variety of ways. Sometimes for organizations that have been around a long time, though, what gets in the way of changing things, it's not that you can't change things, it's just culture. It's just the way we've always done thing is X. Tradition is we always do it this way. And there are maybe some traditions and some culture parts within the organization that maybe you actually can't fix. So maybe there are parts of your ways that sort of are fixed. But the important thing just to think about in sort of strategy, that this is where you have the most flexibility, the most creativity, and where you can apply your resources in very creative ways. And going back to that magnifying glass analogy, where, hey, there's a certain amount of energy coming out of the sun, doesn't feel like a whole lot, but if properly focused, you can achieve great effect. That's a way of focusing energy in terms of space, right? I'm going to take a little bit of energy here, but if I focus it down and do one way, I can achieve a very hot focal point. But another way you could use that same amount of energy is with like a solar panel. I could now store up that energy and then apply it essentially all at once. It's a different way of sort of focusing that same amount of energy. So time or space. All right. So that's kind of the main kind of bits of common language we're going to start with, which is ends, ways, means, and this as is and to be states. So as leadership here in this church here, your guys' main challenge is setting the right goals. What are the goals for the organization? Coming up with a list of goals is actually not too hard. And, you know, it's pretty easy to come up with a whole bunch of them. What's really hard, though, is prioritizing those goals. Because when you start to prioritize goals, you're doing something that's very hard, which is that you're actually choosing what goals you're not going to go after. And so that's really the hard part about strategy, is prioritizing the goals. And once you've done that, hey, decide how you're going to use the limited resources you have to actually achieve the goals that you have prioritized it. And then, once you've kind of come up with that, how do you articulate it? How do you communicate that? Because as leadership, you've got a certain amount of control where I can directly control the outcome of a very few things here. And those things that I'm directly controlling with the limited resources you have as leadership, with your time, with your energy, should be really important. The other thing that you can do is that you can influence by setting direction, guidance, where all the other people that you have influence over, if you can influence them to go in a common direction, can also sort of achieve an outcome. So sometimes there's also a choice within leadership as recognizing, hey, what's within my span of control? What's within my sphere of influence? And how do I focus that energy in between those two things to achieve those goals? So what's the purpose of strategy as you move ahead? It's to give you something to return to again and again when your plans don't work. Because almost inevitably, your plans won't work exactly the way you mapped them out. Make sure every week, Candace and Andrew come up with a super awesome plan of how exactly the service is going to go, and some sort of interaction will happen where it doesn't go exactly as planned. That just happens. Every week. What's that?
Can you read that definition again?
It gives you something to return to again and again whenever your plans don't work, which will essentially be always. So another way to think about it is, it kind of helps you. What's really the long view that you are taking? And we've had all kinds of examples in our daily lives of times where we operate in a way based on emotion, based on feeling, based on the moment, where I did something like, I have just won and I've done the right thing in this moment. Like for instance, Joanne and I will be talking about something and she'll say something and I'll be like, that's wrong, and we'll have a disagreement. And all of a sudden I'm like downstairs and she's unhappy with me. And I think, oh wow, my long-term goal was peace in our marriage and joy and harmony. And, you know, the fact that we had an argument over something that was really trivial, I've now won that little battle, but in the long term, you know, for the wrong end state strategically. So that's right.
That's a real example.
Yes, dear. And so, you know, as I mentioned, you know, just recognize everything you do, there'll be those interactions that people out there. And emotions and ego are the important ones. So sometimes strategy gives you that tool where emotions and ego start to get involved, where you go, hey, I really want to do this. What's my long-term strategy here? Does this action achieve a short-term goal? Does that short-term goal support my long-term strategy? So it helps us ask the right questions about what we want to do and feel like doing and whether or not that serves us in the long run. So as leadership here, the way I see it, and where there's commonality between sort of the military and leadership, is that you guys essentially have two main goals, the way I see it, and I'd be curious to see if you guys agree with it. One of them, as leadership, you guys are responsible for the future of the health of the church, developing Koinonia as an organization, as a body, developing the congregation, its financial health, that kind of piece of it, right? You also have a responsibility of how you're going to use that church. What is the church doing in the world? What's the church doing in the community? What are the works that this church is doing to serve the kingdom of God? And so those two things are absolutely related, but they are distinct, and they don't always have completely supporting goals. So as a for instance, part of the building the health of the church is you want to make sure it's financially sound. And part of doing the works of God on earth is to spend resources on things that don't necessarily help or grow the church. And so it doesn't mean that those are either one of those things are wrong things to do. It's just important to recognize what are we actually doing here and where do those fit together and how do those interact. And we're going to build that out just a little bit. So bottom line is those are distinct but related ends, ways, and means. And so we're going to break that down into essentially two categories, and I'm going to call this develop the church. And this is where I'm sort of leveraging kind of military technology or a terminology where we'd say develop the force. And then we actually use the force. We talk about employing the force. So I'm going to talk about employing the church. So as leadership, like we talk about, what are some of the end states? We talk about building a healthy koinonia, not how you're using it, but when you think about, hey, think about where you want the church to be in 5 years or 10 years. What are some of the end states that you are trying to achieve in terms of a healthy church? Any thoughts, any ideas? Biblically literate. Okay, so maybe education, an educated congregation. Okay, sounds good. So in general, I want an educated congregation. And I can kind of measure that, right? Not that you necessarily would by testing people, but you would also kind of know it when you see it, when you talk to them. Hey, you guys understand the Bible? You don't understand the Bible. What about in terms of maybe the size of the congregation? Yeah, grow maybe. So I'd lay out. So I'd develop the church. I'd like to grow the congregation. Definitely, I can measure that one, right? Financially, what would you guys like to see?
More people tithing.
Sounds good. I would say that might be a way to get there, because really the end state is you want more money, mm-hmm. right? You know, you want to be more financially secure. So increased financial security. How about the facilities? 5-10 years from now, what would you like the facilities to look like around here?
Keep it running.
Yeah, so you want to maintain, improve some of the facilities. So you start. There you go. So think that. So you can see. So are these all kind of different end states, but they're all sort of related to the same idea. It's a stronger church. So I'm growing the church, strengthening the church, but I can break these down into somewhat related but distinct goals that I can break it down to, but all supporting the same kind of overall state where we're developing the church. So maybe let's say maintain or sustain the facilities. And so, and there may be some other things here. As you guys talk about strategy, maybe one of you guys think, hey, actually, one of my insights is I want four campuses. I want five campuses. And maybe someone else says, hey, no, where I really want is just one really strong campus here. And, you know, other campuses are okay, but I want more of a loose relationship, but I don't want control over those things. We can influence relationships. And those are important conversations to have. Same thing with a financial security. Someone says, hey, I want to build up a huge endowment. So we've got a war chest in case we go through, you know, a few years of financial hardship or an economic recession so the church can survive. And someone else say, hey, no, I want to make sure we're going to take those resources and expend them. So bottom line, so this will be an important conversation to have. What are the goals that you guys want to do as leadership to just to build that church? And then what you have to do that, you'll have all kinds of creative ways that you can do it. So for instance, an educated congregation, I can now match ways to this. You know, what are my means that you've got to do it? You've got the leadership itself. You got you, your folks here. You've got whatever money you guys have on hand right now as a resource. You've got the staff, the people who are currently on staff. You probably have a pretty significant number of, you know, volunteers that you guys can generally rely on, because you want to be realistic about what your resources are. So volunteers that may or may not show up, probably not a means I want to rely on, but people who generally show up and you can count on, we can count on. You also have the facilities themselves. I mean, you have this incredible church that you've already built up. You've got the land, you've got the building, you have the education centers. Those are all tools and means at your disposal. You got 111. All of these things are ways that you can, you know, leverage to do it. And you can use those things. Hey, so I can apply money. Maybe I can pay for a class that's going to help educate part of the congregation. And again, this goes back to the idea of how do you focus those things? I could spend the resources I have on everybody and sort of spread that out really broadly. And maybe achieve some effect, or I could take, I'm going to pick one person in the congregation and I'm going to go send them to seminary for 4 years. Costs a lot more money, but I have one person very highly educated that maybe becomes a tool later on. So anyway, that's just some examples of how you can match means to ends. This is where it gets harder, and we won't spend a whole lot of time here, but what are you ultimately wanting to do with the church? What do you think Koinonia's purpose is? In the world? What's the end state that you're trying to achieve with its purpose? Helping people, right? Yeah? Sort of.
I would say, like, to advocate and improve our community.
Sure, improve the community. There you go. And so that might be a more overarching one, right? Further the kingdom of God as your overarching purpose.
Have enough fun to help people use their gifts so they understand how they're made, right? So that they can employ their gifts within the community.
All right. What's a way we could put that as a, in some ways, that's sort of educating a broader population, you're kind of, you're growing that, you know.
Like equipping people to, it's not, yeah, it's equipping and releasing, I guess, is that what I'm saying.
All right. And this would be one where, this is where we get into goals, where, hey, is equipping and releasing people, is that employing the church, is it developing the church? It's a little bit of both, right? And so this is where these aren't necessarily completely mutually exclusive, and this is where, in a minute, we're going to get back and just kind of show an interesting little feedback loop that you guys, I think you guys will find actually exists. What about internationally? Is there an international mission for the church? What's that?
I mean, in general terms, it would be like to, you know, extend the kingdom of God in the nation. So
there you go. Okay, so extend the kingdom of God internationally. Okay, so you've got, so in some ways there's a, you know, extending the kingdom of God, you know, locally, internationally, nationally, you can kind of grow that out as you go. All right, so let's kind of leave it there for now. There are probably a whole bunch of different ways that you guys look to do the church. So internationally, what do you guys do? There are missions, right? As far as improving the community, you guys do community service. You do, you know, basically these are all the different ways the church does works. So here's where it gets kind of interesting though. What are the means that you guys have to do it. It's essentially the means that you guys have at your disposal is koinonia itself. Okay? So, sort of take a picture of that in your mind, mentally.
Wait, can we take a picture of it real?
Sure. I apologize for my chicken scratch writing here. All right. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take this, I'm going to erase all this. Remember, it's means, ways, ends here. So develop the church. My end state here was an educated congregation that was essentially, you know, larger, more people, financially secure, you know, with good facilities, right? This is, in fact, the future church. This is the means that I have to execute my strategy. I take that church, I go out and I do works to achieve my purpose, spreading the kingdom of God on earth. And that is the whole point of employing the church. So now I can look at this framework and I can see how it sort of all fits together. So I can start out with the idea of like, hey, what is the purpose of Koinonia? It's to expand the kingdom of God on earth. It's to preach the word of Jesus Christ. It's to build believers out in the world and to make the world a better place, ultimately to achieve peace on earth. And if we can agree on what that purpose is, what I want to do with that church, I can now think about what are the works I want to do to achieve that. What church do I need in order to do those works, to achieve that end state? And now I can take that church, the future church I want to build, and I can think, okay, the church needs to look like this to achieve that end state. How can I achieve that with the resources that I have? And now I can build a kind of coherent framework of a larger strategy of developing a church, which I can then take out into the world and employ. And so it's kind of a long ways to get here, but this is a really important framework to think about. So when you guys start talking about, hey, what are our goals? What are our missions? I can say, what bin am I talking about right now? Are we talking about developing this church? Or am I talking about, you know, using this church for a purpose? And so here's where things can kind of get a little bit challenging, and this is where it's way more art than science, is that when I grow my congregation, ideally, I've got more people coming to church, right? Among those people who come to church, more folks are going to tithe. And that money, ideally, will then come back and they become more money here as means. And so this becomes sort of one feedback loop. The more I grow the congregation, the more that, you know, that now the congregation, I get more volunteers, I get more money, maybe some people can come on staff. And so this becomes one important feedback loop, right? As I grow the congregation. Another one is, for instance, hey, so how do I want to use the church itself? You talked about local engagement. Go out there, engage locally, get out to the schools, get out to businesses, you know, 111 out there, essentially its own form of ministry. From there, you know, I've been engaging the community, but one of the outcomes from that maybe, again, I grow the congregation, and then again, that feeds back in down here. And so it's not necessarily a direct linkage, but you can kind of trace those things back. And so depending on where you are and depending on what you're looking at, so for instance, one of the things we talked about here would be, so local engagement, for instance, may drive a larger congregation, again, feeding back here. International engagement may or may not, right? And so this can become a useful tool when you're helping to prioritize. Is, hey, what are the actions that we're doing that increase the future church? And what are actions that are essentially, hey, these are the right things to do, but don't necessarily help the church in the long term? So let me kind of hit pause here because it's a little bit of a word salad here. But first, does anyone have any questions? And then we're going to switch into a different conversation. Does anyone have no idea what I'm talking about?
Koinonia as a whole has different teams. Would you say that in order to execute and move on, everybody has to be on the same
Yeah, so that's a good question. I'd say this comes down to really kind of, and this is where the much more rich conversations will happen, is you guys think about the interactions between all these different things. So for instance, so maybe one of the end states here as far as developing the church is, hey, you want a really active children's ministry, or you want an active daycare, because that daycare supports something else. And understanding how those things all relate together is an important piece. And you'll probably find there's not enough resources within the church to do absolutely everything you want. And so that's, now you're going to have to prioritize, hey, how much to go to children's ministry, how much for Bible studies, how much to daycare, understanding how these things relate. And what you'll find, I think, is you kind of go back to it again and again, and we're going to switch to a different example here in a minute, is that sometimes you'll make different choices based on where in this model you're actually looking to improve and looking to strengthen. So let me shift gears real quick. Well, let me shift gears to a maybe more fun example that's a little bit less theoretical and a little bit sort of more that hopefully everyone can sort of relate to. And the one last thing I do want to say is that from this as is to be, it's also really important to segment this into time horizons, right? Where you may have a long-term to be, and the further out you go is essentially a North Star, right? Hey, bottom line, everyone kind of go in that same direction. Ultimately, if everybody just continues to go north, sooner or later, we're going to all arrive at the North Pole, right? Or at least we'll all be going in the same direction for a long period of time. But there may be something in the near term, which is that, hey, maybe part of my strategy is to not necessarily follow my North Star in the near term, but if I say, hey, everyone meet up in Texas before we all go north. Some people are going north, some people are going south, but if you're congregating there, and now we're going to all go together. So for some people, if you didn't really clearly articulate why you are going in the opposite direction of your North Star, they may resist that. But if they can now understand, hey, the reason why you're doing something completely counter to going to the North Star is that I'm showing this longer-term vision is we're all going to come together to go in a direction. A silly analogy, but an important one. So that's where a near-term goal may not necessarily be following the North Star. So the real path of this may be kind of, you know, ups and downs, ups and downs. All right, so let's talk NFL football, because we're coming to the end of the NFL season. Who, can I get a few favorite teams?
Steelers.
Don't watch sports. Packers. No? No more sports?
I don't know, Green Bay.
Okay.
I'm not a sports person.
Okay.
Guys, you don't know all right. any teams at all?
No teams? Okay, sounds good. What's that? I picked NFL mainly because people can generally broadly speak the language.
Except this
right?
group.
So except this group. Maybe no one understands this at all. So this may be completely lost on you, but still not completely theoretical. But, you know, the idea is in a sports season, every team essentially has the same goal at the beginning of the season, right? Win the Super Bowl, yep. Right? That's sort of every team would go out there. At the beginning of every season, do all 32 teams actually have a realistic chance of winning the Super Bowl? Probably not. But it doesn't mean they don't ever want to win a Super Bowl, right? Maybe it's 2 years or 3 years down the road. So they may have slightly different goals, but they all essentially share the same North Star, which is that we're all trying to win Super Bowls as organizations. And so there's some level of time horizon in here where, hey, maybe some teams, hey, the goal right here is to win a Super Bowl. Maybe for another team it's here, but they're all coalescing on the same thing based on where they happen to be at that one particular time. If I break down that season, so that's my high-level strategy is win Super Bowls. My shorter-term strategy is probably that season maybe. I'm going to try to either win the Super Bowl, make the playoffs, or maybe sooner or later, if I look bad enough, I'm going to start playing for draft picks, meaning that, you know, the teams that do the worst get the highest draft picks, and so they kind of – and the teams that – the better you do, the less of a draft – the less quality of a draft pick you're going to get. And so there's a trade-off there. So point being, so what does that mean in terms of actually strategy? So – I might have this as a, so if we all picked a team we could agree on, Because the other part of ego and personalities is that you might have someone on your team who, like, I could say, hey, we are Cowboys. We're going to be the Dallas Cowboys. But maybe there's an Eagles fan in here that secretly is working to undermine my season because I've chosen, you know.
That person is Chad.
Yeah. So the point is, if we had a football team and our start, our going to the, I think we got a shot at winning the Super Bowl here. All right? So what do I need to do to win the Super Bowl? Do I need to have a perfect season? Do I need to be the 1972 Dolphins who, you know, went completely undefeated? You really don't. And in some ways, that actually might be bad for you because the Patriots gave it a shot, and that probably hurt them in the long run. But basically need to win 2 out of every 3 games in the NFL, right? And so I might start out on this season with here's my arc. And so my plan is, hey, I know in order to achieve my goal for this one season, I'm recognizing there's a longer-term goal, but here I am now starting out 0 games. 2 out of every 3 games goes like this, right? Now I'm maybe starting out my season. Game 1, I win. I'm going to start mapping it out. But I'm going to go into each game. You know, I know I want my near-term goal here. So here's my strategy. My near-term goal is I need to win this first football game. Now I'm going to come up with a game plan to win that football game. So, you know, now less of a strategy, but more of a plan now. But I'm going to break that into individual plays. And I'm going to go out and execute play after play after play. And, I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to start out with a passing game. If that's not working, I'll know I can switch to a run game. That's sort of my general strategy going into the game. And I can measure how I'm doing each step along the way. At halftime, maybe my plan is completely not working at all. I'm going to throw it out the window. Let's come up with a new plan at halftime and see how that works, because based on the interaction. But that's sort of the way that a strategy turns into smaller and smaller tactical actions. But point being is, as I go along this season, maybe I win 1, I win 2, I lose 1, win 1, win 2, win 3. I may find myself at a point where, hey, I've got a little bit of room here. I can start losing games. I've already made the playoffs. Maybe I've already, you know, clinched the game. I've clinched the number one seed. I've still got 2 to 3 games left. My plan, my going in strategy was to win every football game. But maybe now I'm going to say, hey, actually, in order to have a healthier team, you know, I'm going to rest on my starters. Bottom line is you can think about every step along the way. You can think, hey, what do I achieve my long term? So it may sound silly for a football team to say, I'm not going to go out there to try to win this game. But maybe that's the wisest thing to do because I'm saving on my resources. And at a certain point, hey, maybe I just start losing. And really, maybe the best thing I can do is kind of continue to lose so I get the best draft pick possible, because that's going to put me in a better situation to move for the future. So bottom line is just an example of, hey, how not necessarily you might choose actions that, you know, intrinsically from the beginning. Like, why would you choose to lose a football game? Why would you choose to not play your best players? Because I'm thinking longer term. I'm thinking strategically. And I may find, hey, I can't hit this near-term goal I set out to do, but I'm going to adjust my strategy. Hey, got it. We're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. Let's think about next year. So anyway, just a silly example there, but that's how you but if you're always caught up in the emotion of win, 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 and you can't ever take a step back to say, what's the broader perspective here? What are we trying to achieve as an organization? You can find yourself making choices that you feel like are the right decisions because they're following a plan, but in fact are taking you away from your longer-term strategy. So, okay, that was the NFL analogy there. All right. So let's do maybe a little bit of an example here and get a little bit more interactive. And let's talk about some end states. So we're going to talk through a little bit of end states and see if we can kind of coalesce around some common end states. And so each one of you guys should have a post-it note in front of you. What I'm going to ask you guys to do is to sort of be creative and, you know, try to fill out maybe 3 or 4 of them of each here. But let's look at basically when we think about developing the church, and we're going to start to jot down, hey, what are your thoughts on what's the church you want to build? And it's absolutely appropriate for you to do that through your own particular lens, right? So if you are in children's ministry, or you're at 111, or your, I really want you to sort of think a little bit parochially about your own things, about how that supports it, and then also kind of think a little bit broader. And then we're going to be able to put those together and throw out some sort of shot groups and try to organize these things and figure out where things support. So before we do that, though, let me give you a couple thoughts on setting priorities. The first one is that, again, a common goal at the end is really that's crucial. In order for this leadership to come around and agree on a common goal, that is the purpose. But in the near term, the best thing you guys can do is have sort of divergent, different thinking, because we're going to nest them in different ways. And so it's actually really valuable if we start out from a point of disagreement, because it's going to be the disagreement that's going to sharpen those goals, that's going to round off those rough edges, and it's going to ultimately produce, I think, the most effective thing if everyone can come around on. And another thing about strategy that I would say is that a really effective strategy has buy-in. And so if Andrew went home and he wrote a really awesome strategy and he came in and laid out and said, hey, guys, this is what we're going to do and this is perfect, it may be the best strategy in the world, but if he doesn't have buy-in from all of you to execute the strategy, it is way less effective than a mediocre strategy that everybody agrees on. And so the best thing you guys can do is to build a strategy together as leadership that you guys can all agree on and all get behind. And it's okay if it's not perfect, but because again, if you're focusing that energy and attention and it's generally in the right direction, that's way more powerful than everyone thinking they're going in the perfect place, the perfect direction, but it's not focused. So that's one thing. We're going to build it, again, different ideas, but you can start binning those ideas together. And it's great when you have different goals and different objectives. And it gives you some really good questions to ask. And the first question is, hey, are these goals mutually exclusive? They might be, but usually they're not. Usually if you think hard enough, there's some kind of a Venn diagram overlap between competing goals that may help you refine even a more perfect goal. And one of them might be, hey, when I find disagreement, maybe it's because maybe someone's talking about this is how I'm developing the church. Maybe someone has a goal about how you're actually employing the church. And now I can separate those two things and I can put them on this kind of framework and say, hey, these are not, in fact, mutually exclusive. They're very supportive, even though they look completely divergent. Are the goals on the same time horizon? Hey, why are you so focused on X, Y, or Z? Well, because, hey, next month we need to hit our numbers, and so I need to dedicate my resources to make sure that this one thing goes successful, where someone else might be thinking longer term. Hey, I'm thinking about next year's Christmas Eve service. Here's what I need to be focused on. So are those goals, are we talking about the same time horizon there? If I can separate things in time, again, that makes it much easier for me to now deconflict my energy and attention and priorities. Do these goals interact? So for instance, one says, hey, I want to dedicate my resources and time to growing the congregation. Another says, hey, we really need to shore up our finances. They may not sound immediately related, but you could certainly tie together how those things are related. In the long term, grow the congregation, increase the finances, et cetera. And then ultimately, are these different goals that fall under a higher level objective that I can bin together? And so it might be, ultimately, you want probably three or five, somewhere in that range of kind of higher level goals you're shooting for, and we'll focus those down. But we'll get to that later. All right. The last thing I would say is that you guys may have some, the most important thing about strategy is not just setting goals, but prioritizing those goals. It's okay to not start out with those priorities firmly fixed. Because you may find through these discussions and through these conversations, you may find that it's more important to prioritize what you thought was a subordinate goal, because in the long term, again, it supports that longer term vision. So we just hit New Year's resolutions, everybody has them. How many of you use New Year's resolutions generally stick? Hardly any of them, right? And the reason why they usually fail is usually too big of a change, too many moving pieces. And people don't appreciate all the kind of habits that are designed against you going into it. And so a really important thing for an organization is understand how the organization works and what are the things going against it. There's a great quote about how every system is perfectly designed to get the results it gets. So Koinonia right now is perfectly designed to get the results you guys are currently getting. And so the only way to change that outcome is to somehow change the structure, change the organization. And that could be as simple as coming up with a strategy, but maybe to achieve that strategy has to be an organizational change. But one last thing that we can talk through once you kind of get these things up on the board is that one thing you can think about when you think about how goals and priorities interact is that one goal may not seem very important, but it may be a goal that a lot of things will start falling behind. So in habit changing, there's the idea of a keystone habit where I may have a whole lot of New Year's resolutions that I want to do, but if I can find just the right thing that I chose for a New Year's resolution and just focus all my energy on that one thing, all those other habits that I put behind it maybe become easier. And maybe it's not getting up at 8 a.m., it's getting up at 5 a.m. is one. That's a hard thing to do, but if all of my attention just came to get up maybe an hour earlier or 2 hours earlier a day and actually get out of bed instead of being on my phone, suddenly I have time to journal, I have time to pray, I have time to meditate, I have time to work out. I actually ate a good breakfast instead of running out the door and going to McDonald's. And so all the things I wanted to do and change the way I eat, change the way I work out, all those things were fixed because they became much easier because I chose the right keystone habit. But getting up early was not important to me at all. But I chose the right keystone habit and because I found things that fit in. So that's another important thing as we set goals. Hey, think about how all these goals fit together. Is there a way to achieve all of these goals that maybe isn't quite so obvious? All right, so with that, let's think about that, and we'll take a little bit of time. So what I'd like you guys to do would be to take your post-it notes, and let's think about what you want Koinonia to look like 3 years from now. How is Koinonia different 3 years from now than it is today? You could think about the money, think about the finances, think about the congregation, the children's ministry. And so take, say, 5 minutes, write down at least, say, you know, three to five things. Please make them measurable, something that's not too vague. All right, so this was 10 minutes, right? And we have a lot of different ideas up here, and it's a great start, right? From these, I would say probably 80% of Koinonia mission you guys could sort of start distilling, but it's going to take a long time to get there. And so are all these the same ideas? Absolutely not. But, you know, the good news is that you're all sort of generally operating along the same themes, right? But you can kind of see how these are different things. So now we can say, like, where is there some divergence? But an important part of the interaction right now is that as these conversations continue, how many of you came up with some other ideas? You heard that and like, ooh, that's a good idea. Here's a little nuance there. So I would capture those ideas as you go through and have those conversations. Write down more ideas. Write down more ideas. Put some more ideas up on the board. And then start really exhaust that space. Hey, what are all the things that are out there? And it could be really super small details. Like I love the, like 111 being profitable. That's fantastic. You know, just something specific. I want to grow this financial thing. Set a target. And so things that are specific are fine. Things that are really micro are also fine. And things that are also super high level are also fine. But more ideas is better. And then what you can do, another useful thing, is take a step back, marinate on it for a little bit, take some time, and think through what is the church currently doing? Is there stuff that we're doing right now as a church that actually isn't on the board? So for instance, what I didn't hear anything was missionary. So I didn't hear anything internationally, right? You guys do a lot of international work. So doesn't mean, because you didn't come up with it, doesn't mean it shouldn't be on the board. But start to think through, hey, what are all these things? And now another thing, then the next step that I would say you guys can do is now you can start essentially binning things and grouping them. The first question I would say to ask is anything here on the board maybe more appropriate for the employing the church side of things? Some of these things really may be not about developing the church, they're actually how you're using the church out in the community. And again, it's a little bit murky, you know, and so just a question to ask. Some of them, I would, you know, bin this sort of is this a high-level objective meaning, hey, this is just a, you know, a really kind of broad brush. Those are really useful because those start to become bins that more and more things can kind of fit under. So, for instance, we heard a lot of things that had to do with people, right? So I would think that one of your overarching objectives for Koinonia is going to be something about people. Because a lot of people talk about volunteers, right? Volunteers were probably fit in developing your, you know, your people. Education fit under. That's about developing your people. So I would try to maybe articulate, what's our high-level goal as Koinonia that I'm looking, that I can now articulate and distill it down into a simple phrase? Hey, my goal for Koinonia is to develop a, you know, an engaged, educated Christian community, something like that. And underneath that is going to be, I can expand my volunteers. I can have more people engaged in ministry or, you know, more education, things like that. So people, for instance, may be one of them. Another thing I think I heard in there as a high-level goal basically had to do with, you know, maybe resources. And maybe facilities falls under here. Maybe it doesn't. But you talked about resources for the visual arts. You talked about the facilities themselves. You talk about additional campuses. You talk about money. And so some of those things can kind of start binning under. So, you know, what are those kind of high-level things? And so, and then I can now start breaking those things down. I think now maybe I have sort of two or three, maybe somewhere between three and five high-level goals that I'm looking to achieve. And maybe a lot of these things sort of fit under those, but these more specific objectives help me kind of target something. And now I can really start now establishing priorities. What's maybe the most important thing in the resources here is, it sounds like, based on what you guys talked about, maybe within the people, growing your volunteer corps is a really important near-term goal because that becomes a resource for you guys to now use and all kinds of other things. And so, hey, in the near term, what are some near-term wins I can get to rapidly drive up volunteers, for instance? And so binning them between kind of high-level objectives, which kind of gives you your three to five broad objectives, you know, medium, there's more specificity in the kind of the lower things. Hey, these may not be, you know, spreading the kingdom of God, but making sure that, you know, you some kind of, you know, a financial thing or whatnot is a really important thing that you guys need to make sure you don't lose sight of and establish. So kind of bin those things. If you can choose these three to five things, now these things start being spread out, and now you can choose, are these high level, medium level, low level? And then through that conversation, more ideas come up, interact. So there's a famous quote by Einstein, I think, that says, if I had an hour essentially to save the world, I would spend 59 minutes understanding the problem, and I'd spend 1 minute solving it. So this is a lot of that understanding essentially the problem. Understand the operating environment, understand what you guys want to do, and go from there. So we started at kind of a, I think I talked about this sort of three-level, you know, diagram where you've got means, ways, and ends, which lead to a church that gives you ways, achieved ends. Why did we start here? This is just a little bit easier to start with because you guys are leadership. You know exactly what we're trying to do. So this is a great exercise to do, but I would also encourage you to spend a lot of time here at the beginning because most importantly, you guys should understand as a church what the purpose of Koinonia really is. And if you can agree on that, it'll start, that's sort of a keystone agreement, keystone partnership, kind of a keystone covenant that you guys have. This is what we want to do with the church. That'll help you decide the church you want to build and kind of focus all those goals. So start here, work your way down, and let the interaction kind of really help drive those ideas. I had Candace and Andrew go last for a reason. And that because sometimes when leadership says something, or so, oh, yeah, that's what we're going to do. And I would absolutely not have that be your mindset. Let your ideas really empower and strengthen them and let Candace and Andrew be the ones that help maybe synthesize the ideas and ask the questions. But your individual expertise about the audiovisual department, about the children's ministry, about 111, about the finances, about the administration, you can't underestimate how important that is to really build a successful strategy because it's those building blocks that are ultimately going to determine success or failure. So, Andrew.
So a question, maybe this is what Maria was getting at when she was asking the question earlier. The interaction between what can or feel like a very high-level strategy and how that it directly impacts every department, or as you know, sort of goes down into the volunteers within a department, sometimes those two things can seem like they're very disparate.
Yep.
And this exercise, we're sort of throwing a lot of things on the board. We're trying to get down to the ultimate sort of high level strategy. Do you sort of have an expression of that in multiple layers so that everybody everywhere knows sort of one large idea, North Star, and then as you sort of go down, you get more in detail?
Yeah.
Or is that how you break it down?
That's a really great question. Partly I think it starts with a mindset. There was a great quote about NASA back in the 1960s where they visited NASA space station and there's a janitor sweeping the floor. And someone said, "Hey, what are you doing?" He goes, "I'm helping putting a man on the moon." And that's what you want Koinonia to be about. Like from sweeping the floor to vacuuming to volunteering to, doing, you know, children's ministry to, you know, babysitting babies during the service. Everyone is here, you know, spreading the kingdom of God. And what's important for you guys, the leadership, is to help articulate all those different layers of how that process, how that organization works together so that everyone here, whether you're a volunteer or you're on staff or you're working in 111, what have you, understand how your effort is contributing to this larger focused goal of what the purpose of Koinonia is. And maybe your only mission is to help, for instance, just doing the money piece, getting the finances right. It may not feel like I'm spreading the kingdom of God, but when I understand how that fits into this larger organization and how without my one piece, the organization would not be successful, it really focuses people kind of in terms of that effort. And so if you can break down in terms of that granularity about how, why is it important that we sweep the floors? How does that help, you know, spread the kingdom of God? Well, because I can spread that out, behave, because it's, you know, when the facilities are clean, people are welcome, it makes them last longer, all those things that kind of go into it. And so there is no level of detail that should not sort of fit into that strategy. And then if you find you're doing things, you go, hey, well, why are we doing this thing? If you can't thread that back to why, you know, where that fits into the ultimate purpose of Koinonia, maybe that's something that you're just doing because the organization always did it. And maybe that's something that you can essentially divest of and change. So I would say, you know, bottom line, as you guys go into it, it's a bold and a brave thing to do, to try to, you know, embark on a really articulating a strategy. And you guys have a strategy. I mean, you have a goal. You guys are all driving towards a common objective. But I think, and I hope that you will find in kind of going through a process of really trying to define those goals, define that purpose, and articulate it in a way that you guys can all get behind, it's going to help you focus the energy of the church. It's going to help you kind of prioritize those resources. And ultimately, as you kind of go through each day, each year, you know, after each service, you can go back and look, hey, what should the next service be? How does that affect our strategy? Will this help grow the congregation? Will this help, you know, you can ask those questions. So the decisions you make, service to service to service, just like game to game to game, hey, how are we adjusting based on what we're seeing, based on the measurable outcome? And so that's another piece. For instance, we get into these ends and ways. Someone talked about the demographics, right? A really important part is, hey, we're not just growing the people, but I want to break that down. That's a great overall end state. But maybe for the long-term health of the church, I really want to get a whole lot of 18 to 22-year-olds in the door, right? Are those guys tithing? Absolutely not. Probably not. They're probably more of a drain on the resources of the church, but they're the seed for the long-term health of the church, right? And so how do you go after those demographics? Maybe it's outreach. Maybe it's getting on social media. It's TikTok, this, that, or the other. And I've come up with my plan. I'm like, hey, I'm going to get on TikTok, and I'm going to get Koinonia out there, and my goal is I'm going to grow the demographics. But I want to measure it. Because, hey, I've got 100 18 to 22-year-olds, and I got on TikTok, and for a month I did some TikTok videos about how great Koinonia is, how super cool we are, and we're hip, and we're with it, and suddenly those numbers start dropping, and I go, huh. My plan was supposed to be great, because everyone says engaging on social media is the way to get to young people, but maybe you're not being effective at it, and you need to adjust that game plan. And so just because you've set a plan in motion doesn't mean it's going to work. And so you always need to test it. Is it achieving the outcome I want, or do I need to adjust fire? And so think about that. And the idea is that I've got an overarching goal. I'm going to break down into a smaller goal. And I think, okay, if I prioritize that goal, this is important to me, I'm going to apply resources to it and pick the best way to achieve that goal and start doing it, but make sure you're checking whether or not it's working. Because if it's not, you want to adjust fire because you could find you're doing things that are counterproductive. So that's sort of the overall theory as you kind of work your way down from the purpose of a church to how you achieve that purpose to what that church needs to look like, how we're now going to build that church, what ways you go about it, using the limited resources you guys have of staff, people, and time. So bottom line, it's hard. It will be hard. It's going to generate a lot of friction, but embrace the friction. The hard is what makes it rewarding. Do not underestimate how much time this might take. You will not be able to do it in an afternoon or a week or a month, and it'll take, it's about the journey and the process of having these conversations will clarify goals. And although sometimes it may feel like you're diverging apart because you've found conflict, unearthing those areas of divergence is ultimately what's going to lead to that focal point. So again, much more about that journey than the destination. And again, once you finally articulate it, I would encourage you, just come back again and again to it. Is it still the right strategy? Does the way that the church is interacting in the world, is it achieving that strategy? Do we need to adjust fire? Do we need to change the ways? How are we doing? What are those things that I'm doing for the church that are feeding back into the health of the long-term church? What are the things that are depleting it? How am I doing, you know, financially? And kind of go from there. So bottom line is, I really appreciate your guys' time. I'm sure this felt a little bit scattered, but it's definitely more art than science here. But this really is a special place. I love this church. I love what you guys do as a mission. And so I will be thinking about you guys. And if I can be a resource to you in the future, let me know. But I think you guys are having far more impact in the world than you know, because you're certainly having a huge impact on our family when we lived in Belgium and D.C. and you know, like the ripple effects for all the people out there who may not show up every day, but who lean on you guys as a spiritual home is profound. So thanks for your time. Yeah.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. You can join us in person on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. or online at the same times, including Saturday and Sunday at 6 p.m. Visit our website at kchanford.com. Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.